To help stop military budget growth, Congress and the Pentagon appear headed to be shrinking the Army. The Army's Training and Doctrine Command is considering cutting its brigades from 4,000 soldiers to 3,000. The trick is how to stay lethal. One strategy under consideration, greater use of unmanned vehicles and robots. Colonel Chris Cross is director of the Science and Technology Division in the Army's Capability Integration Center. He says the switchover, it's a work in progress.
What we're looking for are ways to integrate autonomous systems into all forces in order to increase the capability and the operational reach of all units from squad through the brigade combat team.
All right. Does that mean tanks that drive themselves or something smaller or something bigger?
Well, today we already have unmanned area vehicles that support units at all levels. So arguably we have, if you will, robotic airborne platforms already integrated into the force. We do believe that as we move forward in the future, the integration of robotics will probably initially occur at the sustainment level. For example, we're working on an applique kit that we'll put into existing vehicles that will allow those vehicles to drive autonomously or semi-autonomously so that we can take soldiers out of the vehicles and put them in the combat formation so that we increase our capability and still deliver the capability from the logistics perspective. But I think as we look into the future, In my opinion, I think that we will integrate ground combat systems into the force probably starting in the decade of the 30s. It could be an unmanned tank, an unmanned mortar system, an unmanned beyond line of sight capability or line of sight capability, also integrated in with the unmanned persistent surveillance or intelligence surveillance and reconnaissance platforms.
So there are vehicles that can drive themselves that have been demonstrated. So once you get that capability, does that mean that you can pretty much add that to a vehicle of any size?
But we're starting, like I said earlier, with the wheeled vehicle. So there is it's an applique kit that has been already tested at Fort Hood in an urban environment there on the training area that included civilians, not true civilians, but mock civilians moving in and out of the vehicle formations. Very successful test, very successful program. The second element, we're going to take the vehicles down to South Carolina to a more complex environment and let the autonomous convoy drive through a more complex environment to include more civilians, more traffic control, more lights, and a more complex environment for the vehicles. So that's kind of the first step. And it's in many respects, it's like Google Car, except we believe it has at least probably more capability than the current Google Car does. We're not looking to have convoys out there completely by themselves, but if we have a convoy of, say, 20 vehicles, if we could replace 10 or 15 of those vehicles with autonomous so that we don't have to have a driver or TC in the vehicle, then I eliminate reduce the risk to soldiers who are in the convoy, but also increase my ability to move some of those soldiers who were drivers or TCs and vehicle commanders in those vehicles into the combat formations as we restructure the Army as we get smaller in the future.
And when you say into the combat formations, does that mean on foot, outside, or they would be doing something else?
Well, as you know, the Army is going to reduce in size, overall size. And so what we would like to do, if we could find ways to reduce the number of soldiers that are required to support, say, for example, a brigade combat team across the Army at large, we call it the tooth to tail. And what I mean by tooth to tail is the tooth is the element of the Army that affects the environment. For example, an instrument or a tanker is part of the tooth. You might also argue that the cyber warriors are part of the tooth. The tail, on the other hand, are those elements of the Army that support the combat formations, either through logistics or resupply operations or even the finance and adjutant general officers who provide sort of echelon above brigade support. As we look for ways to increase the capability of the Army and integrate autonomous capability, if I can reduce the size of the tail, the number of soldiers I need to provide the support to the combat element, then I can then, as I get smaller, shift some of those reductions in the logistics element into combat formations so that I don't lose as many of my brigade combat teams in the future as I would if I kept the ratio one-third for the tooth and two-thirds for the tail.
So in other words, if someone is a truck driver driving MREs or ammunition at the rear to bring up, that person could maybe get out of that cab, do something else on the tooth end, and that logistics truck or that MRE truck or whatever it is would drive itself.
Yes, sir. That's a simple answer. Yes, sir. We would, in essence, take that soldier who is an 88 Mike, a truck driver today, and we would transition him to a combat arms MOS or an MOS that's part of the tooth, those that affect the environment.
We're speaking with Colonel Chris Cross. He is Director of Science and Technology for the Army Capabilities Integration Center at Fort Eustis, Virginia. And so what kinds of companies are you working with to develop this? I mean, automobile manufacturers, truck manufacturers, or something more exotic?
Well, I mean, so TARDEC, one of our engineering labs, is working closely with the Army to do this. They developed the tank and automotive requirements, the wheel vehicle, the tank elements of the force. We're also looking at technologies developed in the Google car and looking to industry to also bring in capabilities that they have developed. So, again, the industry partnership is critical in all that we do. We develop a lot of the technologies within the Army and then transition it to our industry partners in order to provide the capability at large for the Army.
And it sounds like you're developing something that can work in urban environment as well as out of town.
Yes, sir. That's a very true statement. As we look into the very complex environment of the future, it is well known that we believe more of the population will move to what we're defining as a megacity, where a megacity is a city in excess of 10 million folks. It's not that the Army would want to operate in that environment, but we may be asked to operate in that environment. And therefore, we have to develop the capability and the technologies and the formations to operate under sort of the full range of military operations in and around large cities.
So very different picture that people tend to have in their mind when they think of the old time wars of armies on fields.
Yes, sir, that's true. I mean, when I first came in the Army in 1988, I mean, we still expected, if we had to fight in a place like Fulda, in the Fulda Gap, a very different environment than if you move into a mega city that has 40 million people inside the city or around the city. Yes, sir.
Now, you mentioned unmanned aerial vehicles. I know for a number of years now, the Army has had a small, something a man can lift by himself. I believe it's gasoline-powered, hover-and-stare type of thing. What are the latest developments in the aerial drone field?
Well, Tom, one of the things that we'd like to develop is a more persistent airborne capability. So, you know, either fuel cells or hybrid technologies to fuel that aircraft, that unmanned air system, so they can stay in orbit longer to provide a more persistent and long-ranging capability for the entire joint force.
And what about the dirigible blimp-type, balloon-type of vehicle that the Army has? And I know there's been some mixed results with the latest generation of those. Does the Army envision at some point maybe those would also be unmanned?
Sure, they are unmanned now. In fact, you know, when I was in Kabul, Afghanistan, there was a dirigible that flew over the city that collected, you know, very persistent intelligence information in terms of monitoring activities around Kabul. And those are common now as you deploy to parts of Afghanistan, and they were also employed and deployed into Iraq.
All right, so those go slow. Is there any of the technology that allows them to be unmanned that can be transferred to faster moving types of aerial vehicles?
Well, in fact, what I would say, Tom, is that those that are deployed today are typically tethered. They are in a stationary orbit sitting over the city collecting persistent information about, you know, the environment. What we will transition are the sensors that are being developed on the dirigibles to the unmanned platforms, so that as we have the ability to maneuver and cover a larger area, we integrate those technologies and capabilities on the persistent platforms into the movable UAVs that we will deploy in the future.
All right, getting back to the things that would move on the ground that no longer have a driver, is there someone back somewhere looking through the eyes, so to speak, of what that vehicle sees and controlling it, just as drone aircraft have someone in the Air Force, you know, back in the United States, can see what a drone in Afghanistan is doing?
Yes, sir. I don't believe in the foreseeable future we ever expect to change that paradigm. In fact, DOD 3009 requires a man in the loop, and that will not change anytime in the distant future. Again, war is a human endeavor, and it is a clash of human wills, and we will retain a human in the loop, again, as long as I can envision.
And so what do you think is going to come next out of all of this development that you're doing?
I think the ultimate goal, like I said earlier, is to increase the capability of units. So, Tom, what that means is if I can integrate unmanned ground platforms and ground platforms within smaller formations like a squad. So a squad has, you know, maybe two additional unmanned ground platforms and an airborne platform that's integrated in its warfighting capability. I've extended the operational reach and capability to the squad. In essence, I've given the squad, in some cases, the same firepower that a platoon might have today. And so as the Army needs to get leaner, which means I can do more with less because we are going to be smaller as an overall Army, building in capability allows a smaller unit to cover a larger area than it can today. And I really, you know, if I take a squad and it can cover the area of a platoon, and a platoon can cover the battle space or area operation of a company, I've made the Army leaner and I've increased the capability of that unit through the integration of technology.
So you've actually used this drone or unmanned technology to increase lethality, sounds like.
Both lethality, surveillance, and support. Yes, sir.